Well, there you go, boys. There you go, Roy. Back in the saddle again. Yeah, well, let's wait a minute. That was Gabby Hayes. He ran around with Roy Rogers, yeah. We got Gene Autry on there. Gene Autry, as I used to call him. I never was an Autry fan myself. I was a Whip Wilson, Lash LaRue, Durango Kid. Several of those kind of guys were my favorites in the movies. Gene Autry wasn't one of them. But I like that song, because I am back in the saddle again. And it is Terrible Tommy, Back in the Bunker. Yeah, Back in the Bunker. And it is the 28th of December, 2016. Wow. Pretty soon it's going to be 17. If you got some major thing planned for 2016, you don't have long to pull it off. No, you don't have long to pull it off. We had a heavy frost last night, I'm telling you. The cars are coated. 20 degrees. I thought it was warming up around here. And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your donations for the radio show. Well, I guess January's almost due. We've got some people who've already set their January dues. How about that? Cool, baby. Thank you. But I also think we've got two or three or four maybe that have not sent in their December dues yet, so get on the stick, boys. Well, if you've noticed, the chaos factor is moving right along. I even hear people saying it now. I hear a lot of news people talking about chaos. Chaos everywhere. Interesting, right? I've got a new thing I'm going to do. Well, no big deal. A lot of these articles that are really important now, through some really good writers that have to do with politics and the international situation, and especially the war problem, I like to convert them to audio, because you can't get them, as far as I know, anyplace else converted to audio. And then I'll send them out separately to you rather than trying to include them in the show. We should have enough news around to do a show without the long documentary. But it's very important, and I hope you people listen to them, because there's some good writers out there, and they're trying to do a good thing by heading off all this war propaganda. And all this war propaganda, you got to know, is bullshit. Obviously, the war party wants to build it up so the military-industrial complex can sell more and more weapons as they scare the shit out of the people in Europe and the Middle East and so forth, that they'll want to buy more weapons. It's so simple to figure out. It doesn't take a genius. So we're going to be sending those to you. Maybe on the same day as a show, or maybe another day. So anyhow, let's get into the show. One of the reasons I'm doing this is because I'm trying to, and I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I'm trying to create a new breed of racist in this country. I don't mean to put myself on a pedestal or anything, but we need to reorganize to a degree our thinking and get out of this neocon right wing mentality, because it's killing us. It causes your brain to go crazy. Because part of what the right wing says is correct, but less and less is correct. And part of the left wing is correct. And the problem is you're gonna have to figure that out, that not everything the left wing says is wrong, especially when they speak on the area of environment and war and things like that. So hopefully I have done some good on in that area, because I don't pay attention too much to the right-wing racist blogs, because I don't see much evolution in their thinking over the years. It's still this, most of it's the same old, same old. Just reactionary, I hate the niggers, I hate the Jews, I love Adolf Hitler. And that's about the extent of it. So anyhow, here we go. Squabble between the Jewish factions and the liberal factions is growing bigger all the time. And this latest thing with the UN, with the U.S. not going along with the Security Council, that is a little bit hard to figure out, because they did it for a reason, and that's to piss off Israel. Now, maybe they did it because they want to have Trump come back and be super, super pro-Israel, which he tends to be, my right-wing friends, or something along those lines, because there's something going on. I haven't quite figured it out, because that's above my pay grade. But I'll seek out people who know. How about that? And I'll get back to you. Well, let's see what the Nazis are up to. Oh, in Montana, no less. The Nazis in Montana. The top Montana Democratic and Republican lawmakers on Tuesday warned neo-Nazis they would find no safe haven for a rally that could include guns planned for next month in a mountain town where white nationalists have threatened Jewish residents. I doubt whether they've threatened them very much. Of course, if you just say anything, I don't like Jews, that's enough. You're threatening the Jews. Well, here we go again. The Hollywood Nazis are setting up the field of battle so their enemies win every time. Give them a tremendous amount of publicity. The best way for the so-called Nazis to go to Montana is just go to Montana as individuals and families. Normally dressed people, no flags, None of that stuff, and just move in, integrate into the community, and be one of the good old boys. See, they don't expect the Hollywood Nazi types to be good old boys. I mean, really good old boys. Maybe even buy a horse, you know. But it's almost, it's sort of choreographed. I've been suspicious about this for years, that when you're doing something that totally benefits the enemy and gives them massive publicity and gives you massive negative publicity, why would you do it? That's the question I would like to ask. Unless you're a masochist, or whether it's just something that turns you on, maybe get you off. It says here, the lawmakers include both Democrats and U.S. Representative Ryan Zinke, recently picked by Republican President-elect Donald Trump to be Interior Secretary. Well, of course these politicians are going to come out against the Hollywood Nazis. It's made for them. Everybody's going to love them for doing it, you know. Quote, we say to those few who seek to publicize anti-Semitic views, that they shall find no safe haven here. Zinke wrote in an open letter, also signed by the Democratic Montana Governor Steve Bullock and U.S. Senators, Republican and so forth. Oh, geez. Well, what do you think they would do? Most people don't even know their senators are Democrat or Republican, especially state senators. Quote, we say to those few who to publicize, well, I read that, yeah. Democratic Montana Governor Steve Bullock, U.S. Senators Republican Steve Daines and Democrat John Tester, and Republican Attorney General Tim Fox. Well, it's the easiest way to get publicity, and it's positive publicity for them, according to the way the standards are today. I don't know too many people that are out there promoting the Hollywood Nazis. I don't even promote the Hollywood Nazis. And if anybody was going to, it would probably be me. Quote, let's see, where am I at? I can't keep track of my own stuff here. Neo-Nazis plan to march. Here we go. Same old shit, new day. Plan to march in January in the mountain ski town of Whitefish in Montana's remote and rugged northwestern reaches, where I know that none of these Hollywood Nazis would ever move to buy a business, make a home there, and be normal, and quietly disseminate their racial views among the people. They would never do that. They just want to come to town for one day and raise hell and then leave. The march is to support the mother of white nationalist leader Richard Spencer, which I'm sure she's thrilled to death because she's already condemned what her son thinks. Why make it worse for her? Sherry Spencer is facing pressure from community members to sell a building she owns in Whitefish because of its ties to her son and disavow her son's beliefs. Well, that's the way it goes. It comes with the territory. Community members held a vigil and a protest earlier this month in front of the building. Every left-wing kook in the world will come to that. They'll probably gather up the Indians, too. Because whenever you open yourself up to this stuff, make yourself a target. Go down, put on a uniform, stand on the corner, and allow people to throw tomatoes at you. You get what, you know, I've been through it over and over and over, so I'm not talking as somebody who doesn't know about how this works. I was that kind of guy for years, going out and getting in struggles and fights on the street, protests. I can't think that it ever got us anywhere. It didn't even help me when I ran for Congress. In fact, of course, it hurt me. So anyhow, if the right is ever going to survive, they've got to get new tactics. Now, with this fellow from Whitefish who's started this outfit, now he's in Washington, D.C. Well, if he can keep his ranks halfway clean and propagate more kinds of propaganda, but I think the problem is he's going to incorporate a lot of right-wing neocon stuff in his program. But I don't know. I'm not telling anybody else what to do. I know what I'm going to do, and that's what's important to me, and hopefully you. Here's some more of this stuff. As pressure mounted against the building, the poor building becomes the target, the sacrificial lamb, and the poor mother, and of course, the kid can't, I mean, that's something he can't have anything against, because I know my mother rejected my views too, and she was even getting propaganda for Morris Deeds. I found out after she died. We can't do anything about that when our families split up, but still, he should try to make it as easy on his mother as he could. As pressure mounted against the building, the neo-Nazi, whatever that is, and white supremacist website, see, these are all the media, see this? This is the same kind of media that goes after Donald Trump, using same tactics. They've been doing it to us for years, or people who think so, at least partially like us, urged its readers in an article to take action against the Jews in the Whitefish area. Well, there's always these Hollywood Nazis or whatever, Hollywood Klansmen out there. There's always rogue people like that who are going to say anything. They probably don't belong to anything. They just get on the internet and threaten the Jews. Well, they threaten us all the time. I know Jews threaten me. I've got hours of threats from Jews on tape. As pressure mounted against the building, the neo-Nazi white supremacist website, Der Stürmer, Daily Stürmer, which I'm somewhat suspect of, urged its readers in an article to take action against the Jews in Whitefish area. Well, if they did, that's not a good thing. In its article, the Daily Stürmer called for an old-fashioned troll storm against community members and published their names and phone numbers along with yellow stars superimposed over their photographs. That does not get you anywhere if you're just immature and don't understand. That approach has been tried and used over and over for decades. It does not work. It also said that because of gun laws in Montana, we can easily march through the center of town carrying high-powered rifles. You know, if I was the ADL, or whoever, that's exactly what I'd want you to do. I'd send you a letter and say, hey, you Nazis, if you want to get someplace, get all your guns and go down there to Whitefish and march through the street. That's going to really get those people on your side. The website contains many anti-Semitic descriptions and images of Jews. Well, so does mine, but it's not, they're not threatening Jews, but said it does not endorse violence. Well, going to march through town with everybody armed to the hilt. Well, the implication of violence is pretty strong. Spencer is the president of the National Policy Institute, a think tank within the alt-right movement, which includes neo-Nazis and white supremacists. That's going to lead to his destruction. I wonder who's in that think tank. I hear these think tanks all the time, on the left wing, on the right wing. I want to know who these people are and how they think. In a video posted online by the Atlantic Monthly magazine, some institute members could be seen hailing Trump's election victory with a Nazi era salutes after Spencer addressed the group at his conference last month in Washington, D.C. Why is everybody going overboard for Trump? I think that Trump may do some good, but he may do very, very bad. I can tell by the people he's putting in his cabinet that they're not draining the swamp. In fact, I think they may be widening the swamp a little bit. And for white racists to run out and support anybody in the last 40 years for president is a mistake. Hope that they do something good, yeah. But don't depend on it. And by his own words, you know, he's telling you you're a bunch of crap and he don't like you and all that stuff. When people tell me that, I believe them. when he disavows Duke and everybody, I believe him. He's disavowing him. So why do you want to try to suck off somebody like Trump when he tells you he hates your guts? Why do you do that? You'll never have any power based on that. You'll never have any power at all. You got to stay aloof from these politicians. They're all whores. If you want to be a whore, well, be a whore. But when you get in bed with them, even the best of them, you're just another whore. Spencer has said on Twitter he might pursue Zinke's House of Representatives seat if Zinke is confirmed as Trump's Interior Secretary. Good luck with that. Whitefish Police Chief Bill Dial told Reuters in a phone interview last week that his department had assigned extra patrols to the homes and businesses of the residents identified in the article. You see, immediately they spread panic. This is what happened in North Dakota with Craig Cobb. I don't associate with hardly anybody in the right wing because I've given up. I've given up on these people. They just won't come to their senses and operate intelligently. However, Dial said there had been no reports of harassment or intimidation of the Jewish community that rose to the level of a crime. Well, of course not. Don't have to. Just the implication that they're there or that they say something. Dial also said Federal Bureau of Investigation officials told him they interviewed Spencer and he denounced the Daily Stormer postings. Well, that's interesting. That is very interesting. Didn't have my mic on. So Spencer met with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He didn't say, I have nothing to say. He told them, when they interviewed him, he denounced the Daily Stormer. You see how that works? These guys all up there going for the media. And if things go a little wrong, they attack each other. I only attack when it's stupid more than anything else. So Spencer's already shown that he could not be too much of a friend of Lone Wolf because he talks to the FBI. In a statement to Reuters, Spencer's father said he and his wife love our son but do not agree with his polemics. Well, that's admirable. Societal desires or his extreme political leanings. Well, they have the right to say that. And they didn't attack him. Just said they disagree with him. That's okay. That's being honest. Of course, we'll never know how honest because behind the scenes and maybe in bringing up the kid, there was a lot of racism talked about. Okay, that's the end of that article. Another day in the life of Hollywood Nazis. One thing to remember, if you're influenced to become a Hollywood Nazi and think because you are bold enough to put on a uniform and wear a swastika and go to a town and demonstrate at the city hall that you're some kind of a brave, brave person, that's ridiculous because you're going to be protected by the cops. For years that's been going on, even the cops having school buses taking the Hollywood Nazis or the Klan to their demonstration. We didn't get that kind of treatment when we were running around. We had to fight our way in and fight our way out. But now these terribly strong fighting men of the Hollywood Nazis are protected all the way by the cops. That's not exactly the way I used to see it on the old 33 movie screen of what went on in Berlin in the streets. It was mass chaos, and people were carrying guns and killing each other. And the cops didn't have any power at all. Cops were getting beaten and gunned down too. Now here was the headline from the Jewish publication: Neo-Nazis ramp up campaign against Montana Jews. All three of them vow armed march. Oh, that's going to help the right-wing racial cause tremendously. Of course, it'll pump up the whack jobs, but that's about it. Lone wolf is what scares the shit out of them, because they don't know how many, where they're at, what their intentions are. They can't go to their meetings. They can't interrogate them. They're pretty much at a loss. I know if I was not even involved in any political activity, that would be the field of operations that would scare the shit out of me if I was federal agent or something. You don't know, you know. Even the order, they did pretty good until a couple of things happened. A gun was dropped at the Ukiah Brinks robbery, and they checked the serial numbers. It belonged to one of the guys, and that was a mistake, carrying a gun that is registered to you. Anyhow, they don't care about these little pissant deals other than they're an irritation for these little demonstrations. Waste their time. They probably hate you not because you're a Hollywood Nazi, but because you're taking their time and frustrating their schedule when they've got other fish to fry. That's what I would think. Of course, who am I to say? I'm just that old Bolshevik bastard from out in Indiana. Well, as of December 18, 2016... there had been 373 hate crimes reported to the New York City Police Department. Crimes against Muslims were up 50% from the same time last year. Now remember, a lot of these Muslims are black Muslims. And of course, there's a lot of times other blacks attacking black Muslims and vice versa. So these are not all Muslims from the Middle East. Crimes against Muslims were up 50% from the same time last year, rising to 33 from 22. In a city the size of New York, that's not very much. And the question is, how bad were these crimes, so-called crimes? And how much about the crimes of the so-called Muslims and black Muslims and everybody else against white people? Crimes involved sexual orientation were also up, well, that goes right along with the program, to 101 from last year's 74, which is still not a very high amount. Whites have been victims too. Oh, wow! The source of 16 reported crimes. The numbers reflect a distinctive effort by a law enforcement agency to track crimes driven by intolerance. Intolerance. You know, that's Morris D started that shit. His program for tolerance. I don't feel like being very tolerant lately. I don't feel like it. In fact, I feel like being very intolerant about a lot of things. For hate crimes are as notoriously poorly reported across the country. Since 1980, however, the New York Police Department has operated a hate crimes task force. Wow. And since 1994, it has diligently sent off its data on such crimes to the FBI. I commented to an article like this on the internet, and I said, would I be safe to say the New York City Police could be called the Jewish Defense League? I haven't heard any replies. There is the quote, there is this one dedicated unit that is able to focus on these cases and solve them. And you can see why you need this in a city of 10 million people of all different identities or races. He says identities. Why don't they say race? They don't want to say the word race. Race is out, said Chief Michael Osgood, who has run the hate crimes task force for 14 years. You have a right to walk down a street and be safe in your race. He said identity. They don't want to talk about race. Only the government can deliver on that right. Oh, well, number one, Osgood, right is bullshit. No one's guaranteed any kind of right. That's just for propaganda purposes. Try going into court and enforcing your right. You'll see how it's the last place you'll get your rights. The 2016 election has raised alarm about the prospect of hate crimes. Only to use it against Trump. Only to use it against Trump. And with it, an attendant worry over the willingness and the ability of the government to adequately chronicle them. There's so many, we can't even keep track of them. Especially out there in Indiana, around that guy Metzger. People are going crazy. The FBI releases annual tabulations of hate crimes, but admits they are clearly incomplete. Again, famous but incompetent. A handful of states have no hate crime statutes, like Indiana, making it even more difficult to determine with any precision the prevalence of violence attributed to prejudice. I don't think they have a problem doing that. If you're a cop, do you think you'd have a problem figuring out if a white guy beats the shit out of a nigger, or if a nigger beats the shit out of a white guy and screams nasty words? Do you think you'd have a problem figuring that out as a so-called hate crime? Osgood, the New York PD's hate crimes chief, said he was confounded that other departments wouldn't keep more detailed records, and why they wouldn't consider it vital to report them to the FBI. Because it's too much work, damn it. They work to death now. You pile on more and more and more responsibilities to the cops. That's why they get excited and go off half-cocked. They drive them to the limit. Now, why did this come on here? I don't see why anyone would not report them. Why would you not report them? Well, for many reasons, dumbass. A lot of these cases are not white on non-white at all. They're non-white on other non-whites of different races. And if they're living in the ghetto and somebody beats the shit out of you who's not of your gender or your race, you're probably going to keep your mouth shut because they'll come back and kill you if you talk to the cops. It's very easy to figure that out. I'm just a farm boy, but I figured it out. Police agencies have to record a lot of data, unquote. Well, they can record all the data you want, but police work is a lot of boots on the ground. Osgood's task force currently has 27 detectives looking for haters, dedicated to investigating hate crimes and especially white people who look funny at non-whites. They oversee a clear-cut process of reporting suspected hate crimes within the New York PD. When a responding officer suspects a crime might have been inspired by bias, he or she is required to report it to the captain, who takes over the case immediately. In other words, they've got the cops ratting on each other. Don't say nigger! it'll be the end of your career. If the sergeant agrees, it's referred to the hate crimes task force. The task force also reviews cases when the captain disagrees with the responding officer to ensure no mistakes were made. Now, don't you think you want to say that a different way, Officer Green? No, this is the way I saw it happen. Oh, I think it would be in your best interest to rephrase. But Osgood says they rarely overturn those findings, maybe two or three times a year. Osgood said his centralized method of investigating hate crimes is essential. The detectives become more skillful and effective, he said. They're able to understand the statute and develop the right skill. It allows a focused effort on hate crimes in this city, which is totally politically driven. And tell me the cop that wouldn't like to get out from under that bullshit. Well, a whopping 66% of Democrats and independents, mostly Democrats, selected someone entirely new to run in 2020. When that option was included on the list of a potential of 2020 presidential candidates, according to USA Today, lying bastards, and Suffolk University poll, lying bastards, released on Wednesday, only 9% believed that a newbie should stay out of the race, giving a 57% positive score for the hypothetical candidate, which will be bullshit in 2020 because it's still money, 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 money. New, fresh people coming out of the woodwork are not going to change the Democrat Party. The machine is too tightly tweaked. Despite winning the popular vote by a final estimated total of nearly 3 million, which she stupidly was outflanked by Donald Trump, who went right to the core for the electoral vote from the very beginning. He knew exactly what he was doing. The people were not nearly as enthusiastic about the prospect of another Hillary Clinton candidacy. Only 23% of the respondents wanted to see her run again, while 62% preferred she refrain from doing so at all and going to the nearest cliff and jumping off. This is a net negative score of 39% for the former Secretary of State to run in 2020. Could you believe 23% wanted to run in 2020? I think I want to go to Canada. Oh, but they got that Trudeau up there, man. This one's worse than his father, and his father was Looney Tunes. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont did better, although perhaps not as much so as some Berniacs might think. 44% wanted him to run in 2020, and 38% did not, giving him a positive score of 6% total. Well, I think, unfortunately, probably by 2020, they may have to stuff Bernie to get him to run, because I think that this last campaign took a hell of a lot out of that guy. He better just sit down. Vice President Joe Biden was one of the poll's big winners, with 43% saying they'd be excited to see him, and only 31% saying they would prefer it if he did not. Biden's net positive for 2020 is 12%. Well, it's questionable whether he'll be around. The biggest winner of all, the big winner is, you probably guessed it, First Lady Michelle Obama for president in 2020. Where's my gun? Put it to my head. Along with Biden and the hypocritical someone entirely new, she was the only prospective candidate whose net positive score hit the double digits, with 61% wanting her to run and 32% not wanting her to run. This gives her a positive score of 29%, despite her repeated assertions she will not seek the presidency. Please, please, Michelle, whatever you do, don't run for president. I can't take another time. I can't take it again. Well, guess what? Alex Jones has got it all figured out. Another false flag as far as I'm concerned. The CIA is trying to assassinate Donald Trump. Oh? Where'd you find that out, Alex? Who gave you that information? I want to see it in writing. Oh, he knows how to get the press. Oh, Alex. He's been riding high now that Trump is headed for the White House. I know a lot of people out there that really like Alex Jones. He's sensational, that's why. People like sensation or coming up with, oh, the CIA is trying to assassinate Donald Trump, and they're coming in on a flying saucer to do it. Oh, I see some white guy down in Texas has been arrested for perpetrating a hoax hate crime. White father of four has confessed to staging a hate crime by burning his own car and painting a racial slur on his house front garage door. I wonder what that would be. When you're attacking a white guy, what would the racial slur be? Hillbilly? White trash? What else? Got to be other stuff. What did Hillary call him? That's what was probably on his door. Yeah. Has Donald Trump become an anti-racist? You don't have to be one or the other. When you got $1 billion, you can be anything you want. The Southern Arizona Hate Crimes Task Force owes Donald Trump a big thank you. He's the reason the long dormant group has found its legs again. Wow. The group, which hasn't posted on its Facebook page in nearly 5 years, made a presentation December 13th at the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and the four in attendance ate it up. Four? Wow. What a crowd. Kelly Fryer, CEO of the YWCA in Tucson, is also co-chair of the task force. She told the supervisors that on November 30th, they launched We Stand Together, billed as a citywide initiative to encourage and equip Tucsonians to stand up to bigotry and prejudice. Got to watch out for those Italian redwoods. That would be praiseworthy if the effort wasn't so clearly rooted in partisan politics. The newest incarnation of the Hate Crimes Task Force is nothing more than an awkward attempt to undermine the president-elect at every turn. Oh, you're kidding. And Pima County is along for the ride. Don't get me wrong, Donald Trump has given us all plenty of to be nervous about. But toying with statistics and doubling down on hate crime antidotes that play on the emotions is over the line, man. That's a hate crime itself. This whole task force is a hate crime. It would be easy to pay the task force lip service, fork over a county proclamation, and send them on their way, but they're getting a lot more. The supervisors voted to put a decal on every county building, labeling it safe space from harassment. I love the psychology of these people. They're so stupid. They think by putting a decal on a building, they're going to stop hate crime. More than likely, they'll be painted out by haters, drunk Mexicans. And the county workers will receive a guide explaining what to do if someone comes in the door seeking safe space. If you're being harassed in the streets by Bubba, and that you should call the police in the face of a threat, not wait for a county worker to fumble through your how-to manual. But Sharon Bronson has suggested that Fryer loves the idea that perhaps county workers need more formal training. That will cost us a lot of productivity, at the very least. That's money we don't have for something we don't need. all. Finally, it comes down to the truth, the money. It's decisions like this that cause the voters to overwhelmingly reject bond requests. Well, there you go, down there in Arizona. They're trying to put stickers on buildings that say, if you're harassed, come into the building and escape the niggers. Or the mestizos. I wonder if this is a lone wolf. A subway commuter was slashed late in the evening on Christmas by a woman, maybe a she-wolf, I don't know, who allegedly made racist comments before attacking him because he had his big black hands on her ass. According to police, Stephanie Pazamino, 30, stabbed 44-year-old man in his face and arm after telling him, I don't want to sit next to nigger people. No, she said black people. Both Pazmino and the victim, who the Post identified as E. John Jarrett, had been riding a Bronx-bound 4 train just after 11 p.m. Sunday night. According to the tabloid, Jarrett had been commuting home after working at a hair salon in New Jersey. Well, two girls on the train, Jarrett told the Post. The heavyset girl was standing over me, and I asked her, would you like to sit next to your friend? She said, oh no, I'm good. It was then that Pazino told her companion she didn't want to sit next to Jarrett because he was a nigger. I moved. I got up and I said, okay, you don't have to sit next to me, he recalled. As the train pulled in to the 125th Street station, Pazmino allegedly attacked Jarrett, slicing him with a 2-inch blade. A 2-inch blade. Boy, that's awfully small. I ran to the ticket booth to ask the attendant to call the police. She stated she did and that I should sit down, and I passed out after that, Jarrett told the news. A New York PD spokesman told Gotham's Jarrett was transported to Harlem Hospital, treated and later released. Jarrett told the Daily News he was unsure if he had been targeted because he is transgender. Not only nigger, he is transgender. Oh, interesting. Is the worm turning? Is the worm turning? I returned a comment on that particular article and I said, so what's the problem? I wonder how many retorts I'll get out of that.
At Red Gold, family makes a difference.
I like being a farmer because I like picking.
People in Nashville have been shot and killed this month. And that's nearly one person every other day.
You two of them were just high school kids. They played football at White's Creek, and they are among many other victims this year.
News 2's Jessica Jagloys was at a gun violence forum tonight where one community is trying desperately to come up with solutions. Jess.
Well, this month's murder rate has already surpassed last December's, and the month isn't even over. Tonight, I asked the White's Creek football coaches how they're going to talk to their players and what they plan on telling their team when they're back from Christmas break.
Second time in a month that White's Creek has lost two family members.
Ian Phillips coaches football at White's Creek High School and says their team is like family.
It's like any other family that loses a loved one when you feel it to the heart.
In the span of 3 weeks, that family lost 18-year-old Hygo Lyles and 16-year-old Ricky Hambrick. Both boys were shot, and both cases remain unsolved. The coach says he'll have a message for his team when they're back in school.
You can go left or right. Make sure you choose the right decision. And, you know, everybody's going to mess up sometime, but make that decision where you can come back and correct it and not have it be a fatal decision where you can't.
Phillips and fellow coach Tyrus Ward came to a Baptist church in Midtown Tuesday night, where the group Partners in the Struggle held a conference on gun violence. Earl Jordan co-founded Partners in the Struggle and says he wants to see more police officers in high crime areas and stricter punishments for violent crimes.
The areas that we know that are crime ridden, we want to make sure that we have patrol officers there so we can maybe deter the violence from happening.
The coaches want to prevent the violence from ever happening and teach their children to love themselves and each other.
The real work is in the elementary schools in the younger age, where we can just really dive into that and really show these kids that there's another way.
The group also plans on talking to city officials about keeping community centers open on the weekends. You might be surprised to know that many close on Saturday and Sunday, and group leaders say that's when kids are out of school and need a safe place to go. Eric?
Thanks, Jess. And of the 11 homicides this month, 7 are unsolved. And if you have any information that can help, you should call Crime Stoppers. Remember, you can remain anonymous and could get a reward for your help.
This is all Negro stuff, black-on-black crime. And they said, we got to stop the gun violence. No, you got to stop the Negro violence. The Negro violence. These guns don't pull triggers by themselves. Come on. They don't want to say black violence. They don't want to even say people violence. They want to say gun violence. It's the gun. If there wasn't a gun, there wouldn't be a butcher knife or a slingshot or a bunga bunga spear. So they can never solve the problem because they refuse to confront the real answer, and everybody's chicken shit to talk about it. They don't have the balls to stand up and say, we got a black problem here. And it's mostly black people killing black people. So it keeps on going. It'll get worse and worse and worse until the military has to solve the problem, probably. Immediately the military goes in to solve the problem, or even the police, then they're picking on us. Those racist bastards are picking on us. We should be free to kill each other if we want to. That's our right. That's our right as a real nigger man. Don't let this get out. Despite an intense national focus on high-profile police shootings involving white officers and black men, a new study shows that white officers are not statistically more likely to shoot and kill a black suspect. Among a sample of 2,699 fatal police shootings between 2013 and 2015, the study found that the odds of a black suspect being killed by a black police officer were consistently greater than the odds of a black suspect getting killed by a white officer. Oh, I guess the national news haven't paid much attention to that. When either the violent crime rate or the demographics of a city are accounted for, we find that white officers are not significantly more likely to kill a black suspect, wrote co-authors John R. Lott and Carlisle Moody of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Well, you're going to be in big trouble, buddy. You guys are going to be in big trouble. The study found that among the sample of those killed by police, 45% were white, 25% were black, and 16% were mestizo. Quote, white officers are significantly less likely than black officers to kill black suspects, and they are not statistically significantly different from mestizos, other race, and unknown race police officers. The study said, accepting one model where mestizo officers were marginally more likely to kill black suspects. Since August 2014, the shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown, a black man, at the hands of a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, the Black Lives Matter movement has made officer-involved shootings a national political issue. But there you got it. And a part of that is because the white cops are afraid to have their career destroyed by shooting anybody, unless it's a white working man. Then it's okay. That's going to get a lot of white cops killed, that they'll pause and be worried about the ramifications of shooting a criminal, black criminal, and it's going to get a lot of white cops killed if they do that. I don't think most are going to do that. I've been neglecting the Black Ku Klux Klan lately, but I'm going to get back to it now. 7 people were shot dead Christmas Day in Chicago, adding to an already trying and violent year. I guess they got coal in their socks. 11 people total were killed over the holiday weekend, and at least 33 others wounded in shootings across the city. Boy, those blacks are poor shots. They better take some lessons. If they quit holding that gun sideways, they might be able to hit something. So far, there have been at least 740 homicides in Chicago this year by the Black Ku Klux Klan. The last time there were more than 700 murders was in 1998. Quote, "We have a traumatized city," unquote. Susan Johnson, who runs an immediate crisis intervention service in Chicago, told NPR, "People are living hair trigger with anger issues as a result of living in trauma and violence." That's the fault, and it's the gun fault too. Let's see here, what else have we got here? They always have an excuse. I got to scroll down here a little bit. Two brothers were shot killed as they hung out on a porch during a family Christmas party. The Tribune reported they were playing dice when someone ran out from an alley and started shooting at them. Five others were wounded. But they had witnesses. They saw Black Ku Klux Klan members in black sheets running away from the scene. Earlier Christmas morning, a 27-year-old was killed while walking around his neighborhood. He was streaming live video on Facebook when he was shot. Well, you know, you're not supposed to do that in the hood. Because if you're streaming video, you're liable to pick up your neighbor who's a mass murderer. Homicides have increased in 16 of the 20 largest cities in 2016. According to the report by the Wall Street Journal, and Chicago had the biggest rise of up to 56% since last year. But Obama is more interested in Russia trying to get into their computers. Oh, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I think we ought to do like the Arabs. You just pick out all these Chicago hood guys and cut off their gun handling hand. In other words, the hand that they hold the gun in, cut that hand off and you solve the problem, right? Yeah, leave it to old Tommy to steer you right. You can no longer blame the gun. Funny how all these papers and magazines love to promote the idea of hundreds of people being murdered, mostly by blacks. They love it. Probably the black gangbangers sit around the house waiting for the latest news so they can see. Oh, my God, look, we got 800 this year. Yeah. It's not a negative, it's a positive. It's like having a trophy on the wall. Instead of a rhinoceros head, they got a human head. Here's one about the Black Ku Klux Klan from the Chicago Tribune. Think about it. 731 murders have been committed in Chicago with 25 days remaining in 2016. Now the figure sits at 768 gun-controlled Chicago is fast approaching 800 murders for the year. For those paying attention, the carnage and the possibility of more carnage in Chicago has been evident for quite some time. After all, Chicago is a gun control experiment gone wrong. Plus, it's the home of the Black KKK, a city which enacted a total handgun ban in 1982. That didn't work out too well, did it? Thereby guaranteeing that the only people who had handguns were criminals. People who want to do things like that, they don't give a shit how many laws you pass. Law-abiding citizens were reduced to using baseball bats, sticks, pitchforks, and so on for self-defense. Well, I've got a pitchfork outside my house, and I use that up against anything but a gun, I'll tell you. And maybe a gun if I'm fast enough. and the results were easy to predict. The Tribune reported the decade following the implementation of Chicago's ban saw murders jump from 41% compared with an 18% rise in the entire United States. So you see, they love it. When you put them in the news after they kill somebody, they run home, watch it on television. This is the way they get their jollies. The Supreme Court forced Chicago to end the ban via McDonald versus Chicago, but the vestiges of gun control remain the burdensome regulations like the limits on the number of gun stores allowed and strict rules on the locations of these stores. So they blame the guns, now they blame the gun stores. I mean, law-abiding citizens still have trouble getting guns they need for defense of themselves. Moreover, gun control remains the go-to solution for Chicago city leaders and many state politicians who refuse to admit it's actually gun control's failure that's caused this death epidemic to begin with. Not Negroes. No, they don't cause it. So state representatives like Sonia Harper, Democrat 6th District, react to 2016's relentless murder spree by sponsoring a bill that would require serial numbers to be placed on every bullet and the bullet casing. Well, if you got a grinder in your garage, that you can solve that problem. Would Harper's plan reduce crime or murder? No, but it would drive up the price of ammunition. They operate like the federal government to sell more arms, thereby putting one more burden in the way of law-abiding citizens trying to acquire the tools they need to defend their lives, man. I'm telling you, there's something else up there in Chi-Town. The black KKK runs Chicago. That's it. They're in charge. Just like in a prison where the most violent people run the prison. Sadly, this is the Chicago way. Yeah, ever since Al Capone. Except Al Capone only killed off his competition. He didn't kill off everybody else. More laws on top of other laws that never deliver on the promises of making the city safer. Consider these figures from the Tribune. There were 437 murders in Chicago in 2011. There were 506 in 2012, 420 in 2013, and 416 in 2014, and 468 on 2015. And now the city is on the brink of 800 murders in one calendar year. It's those guns. If they just disappeared, we didn't have any guns, niggers wouldn't go crazy. 70 individuals were shot over the Thanksgiving weekend, and more recently, 40 were shot during the Christmas weekend. In fact, the murder rate in Chicago is so high that it's skewing national murder figures for 2016. That's why Obama doesn't want to go back to Chicago. He's going to live in Washington, D.C. That's the reason. He's scared to go back to Chicago. Yet the media is largely mum on the soaring death rate, as covering it honestly would mean admitting that gun control has actually endangered lives rather than saved them. Wow. What a revelation. Negroes can act like animals. No, don't blame the animals. Animals don't act like that. I don't know what to say, but that black KKK is sure out of control. On the other hand, since they're killing mostly blacks, maybe they're well under control. Now, based on what I just said, this article really blows my mind. Report: arrests by Chicago police drops 28% in 2016. What? The number of arrests in Chicago fell approximately 28%. Arrests have dropped in every major crime area, from theft to aggravated assault. So with the murder rate going through the roof in Chicago, the arrest rate is going down into the basement. Chaos factor. That's the chaos factor. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. I can't take it anymore. My heart's going to attack me if I keep going. Just kidding. See you tomorrow on Thursday.